The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Good afternoon and welcome to Family First with five-time author and top speaker Randy Rolfe. Your family may be facing a variety of issues that you'd like addressed. No two families in the world face identical problems, but Randy has seen almost all of the difficulties families today face, and she and her expert guests have the answers that you seek. Now, here is your host, Randy Rolfe.
Hello and welcome to Family First. I'm your host, Randy Rolfe, and I'm excited today we're going to be talking about how to make your child's job interview a success. And before I introduce our guest, I want to mention that our audience is growing very fast. It's very exciting. So thank you so much for listening and tell others about it. And do go to my website and sign up for my weekly family wellness update, and there's also some free information with that. So I'm very excited to be talking with Joel Kwas today, and in these times it's even more important than ever. How can young people better prepare themselves for interviewing for jobs in this challenging market? As a society, we urge our children to stay in school and get their degree so they can land a good job and become productive citizens. But in this market, finishing school is no guarantee of a job. Can your child prepare for job interviews in a way that will help him or her to really communicate his or her most valuable talents? And what do employers look for in new hirees? And how can our young applicants show in their interview that they're ready to do the job? My guest, Joel Kwas, is a nationally recognized expert on this topic with years of experience interviewing applicants from the management hiring side of the interview desk and now years of helping others to get hired. Joel has interviewed over 1,000 people and uses that knowledge to teach people the keys to getting hired themselves. Joel Kwas will share on our show today how young people can discover their own personal assets and make them shine in their resumes and interviews. Joel's the author of Good Management is Not Firefighting, How to Manage Using What You Already Know. He speaks on management topics including customer service, stress in the workplace, and hiring practices. Joel provides gratis workshops for unemployed workers through the New Jersey Department of Labor One Stop Career Center in Toms River, New Jersey, and also helps unemployed veterans and works at job fairs for the Department of Labor. He's a very giving gentleman here. Joel's career in management began over 35 years ago. He's owned 5 businesses, including Crossword Cards, the crossword puzzle greeting card that he managed with his brother Brian, and Straw Castle Snacks, a vending company in Williamsburg, Virginia, which he developed from $90,000 to over $250,000, that's a quarter of a million, in gross sales in just 2 years. Joel's an active member of Toastmasters International and the Toms River, New Jersey Chamber of Commerce. He received his BA in political science at Christopher Newport University in Virginia, where he was president of the student council. So he's always been a leader. He was also commodore of the sailing club and an adjunct professor teaching sailing, and he still likes to be out in the water fishing when he gets the chance. So welcome, Joel. I'm so excited to have you on the show.
Randy, it's my pleasure to be here today.
Great. I wanted to start out by saying, why is it that you're focusing so much now on speaking, helping the people on the other side of that scary interview desk? Why is this topic so important today? And what valuable life skills do children develop from entry-level jobs that they don't get in the classroom?
Well, first of all, my journey has taken me from one side of the desk to the other. And originally, I was just like everybody else in the workplace, looking for my first job. I was fortunate enough to land jobs and to keep jobs through my career, building on what I've learned through each of those individual jobs until I ran a few businesses of my own, started different businesses. And now I'm at a point in my life where my children are grown, things have moved along to a point where I have more time, and all of the people that helped me, now I have the opportunity to pay that back to other people. And so I'm very excited about the new challenge in my life, which is really working towards getting people employed and giving them the tools to recognize the hidden talents that they already have and ways to unlock those so that they can be successful, specifically in terms of jobs as we're speaking today, but also in life in general.
That's cool. So why is this so important today?
Well, with children especially, getting into the workforce, I was lucky enough to have worked through high school at Wade's Hess Station. I went to York High School in Yorktown, Virginia, and I worked 3 to 11 after school, really 40 hours a week. But I also was in the band. I ran track. I was in the chorus. And one of the things that it helped me to do was to learn skills such as the importance of meeting deadlines, because I had to schedule not only my work but my school activities and my homework, how to report to a manager. You know, it's one thing to report to mom and dad and tell them why you were late coming home from whatever you were doing, but it's another thing to report to a manager why you misplaced the deposit or you mishandled the customer. And then also you learn skills on how to get along with coworkers that you don't learn. I mean, it's different than dealing with your brother or sister. There's different etiquettes, and all these lessons you're not going to get in a classroom setting. They're really unique to the workplace and are very valuable for building a person's skill base for future development.
That makes a lot of sense, Joel. We homeschooled our children, and when they were old enough in Pennsylvania and 14 to have a job, we just had them work like just on Fridays, but in a nice market. But they have told me over and over again that those early experiences really helped them not only get jobs but do well on the job. So that makes so much sense, that working with coworkers, meeting deadlines, reporting to a manager, planning your time so you get done all these different things, track, band, and chorus all at once, and sailing. It's amazing. So how can young people better prepare themselves for interviewing for jobs?
Well, there are quite a few things that they can do, but before we get to that, I'd like to make one final point on what children, people can get out of that. The New York Times did a study, and they said that young men and women who remained unemployed for substantial periods of time found it difficult to make up the ground. They lost the experience and the training they would have gained by working, and even if eventually they received employment later on, they tend to lag behind their peers in terms of wages, promotions, and all those sorts of things. So you know, your example of your children going to work even one day a week probably put them very further ahead than people who are not able to go to work as teenagers. And a lot of them end up involved with the criminal justice system and are possibly more likely to drop out of high school, too. So there's a lot of consequences in not having those entry-level jobs beyond you know, minimum wage that they earn. But in terms of preparing for interviewing for jobs, I think one of the very first keys is being prepared. And the first thing they should do is look at their social media presence. Now, you're very aware of that you know, with LinkedIn and all the different things that you're into, and Twitter and Facebook. But what each of these individuals has on their Facebook wall is an impression of who they are. And not that if they're applying for an entry-level position at a fast food restaurant, that manager is going to go in and Google their name and look at that. They need to be aware of how they're presenting themselves in the marketplace and in the social media in general.
That makes so much sense. I mean, that's something we didn't have to think about when we were going into the job market, but just kicking around some funny stuff with your friends could end up being a serious deterrent to getting hired.
Yes, there have been some court cases recently in reference to that as well. So that's just a new twist to being prepared for the job. Secondly, I'd like them to consider very much what they're going to wear to the interview. You know, my goal as an interviewer is to always see the person, not necessarily what they're wearing, but sometimes it's really hard to look past what people are wearing. And your audience, the children, are probably not old enough to remember the Leave It to Beaver type of mom and pop and those dress norms. But I wouldn't encourage them watching a YouTube video of Lady Gaga before deciding what to wear to the interview either, because sometimes that can make the wrong impression and the wrong statement when you're going in for a job interview.
What seems to work best, like you know, hair, and should they hide their tattoos, take all the earrings out of their nose?
I think they have to look at the norm for the type of work they're going to be doing and try to present themselves in a professional way. They really don't have to go in coat and tie or formal attire, but they do need to possibly tone down some of their excesses for the interview, so that the interviewer can actually focus on them and what they have to say, and make a decision based on their skills and abilities rather than just coming to a conclusion by their presence first.
So they shouldn't have something that's really distracting or really inappropriate for the job that they're looking to get.
Absolutely. It again, you know, the torn jeans. I think of a lot of folks that come in with torn jeans, T-shirts, and caps with slogans on them. It's just distracting. And again, the impression you want to leave with the employer is a positive one, not a, I wonder why they chose to wear that to the interview. And if they're wearing that when they're supposed to be at their best, then what are they going to wear when they're representing my company?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I've always said that it's better to dress up a little just out of respect for the person that you're going to be speaking to.
Oh, certainly. And then finally, on the topic of preparation, I think they really need to think about the questions that they're going to be asked. They might be asked, why did you want to come to work for us? You know, what would others say about you? What are your strengths? They need to be prepared for that. You know, what is your greatest strength? What is your greatest weakness? I always say, well, I take people at face value. That's my greatest strength, and that also is my greatest weakness. And you can turn those questions into kind of a positive thing if you've thought of them in advance, and if you're not taken by surprise when the questions are asked. So I think practicing with a parent or with a sibling or with some of your friends for potential interview questions really helps make you feel more comfortable in the actual interview itself.
So you don't want it to look like this is the first time that you've asked yourself what your weaknesses might be.
Exactly. Yes. You know, of course, if you're going to work for Google, they may ask you why are manhole covers round. so you've got to know what type of job you're going to and what type of questions they might be asking you.
Yeah, I can imagine that they could have some fun at some of these more progressive or more immediate contemporary jobs. But still, even if they're going to an IT place where they know that they're going to dress down and they're going to wear T-shirts, they still want to have a neat and clean T-shirt that doesn't yell some strange message, right?
Absolutely. Again, it's really how you present yourself. You can work past that by your presentation of your interview, the answer to your questions, how you handle yourself. But why even have to do that if you can take that out of the equation and let them immediately
right.
focus on you and your skills and abilities and how you would fit into the organization?
Okay, well, we'll be right back. It's time for a break. Thank you.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/VoiceAmerica or search for us at keyword Voice America.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back. We're talking with Joel Kwas about how to make your child's job interview a success. Joel's the author of Good Management is Not Firefighting, How to Manage Using What You Already Know. And he's helping people on the other side of the interview table, helping people get hired. And I'm so excited that he's helping our youngsters get into the job market. And we were just talking about how important it is to give a good first impression and not have distracting clothing. And I wanted to ask you, Joel, what do you say to a kid who has a bit of an attitude and says, well, I wouldn't want to work for someone who would be distracted by my mohawk or my long earring?
Well, on a personal level, I can certainly understand that, but they've have to put on the hat of the company and try and look at it from the other side. In fact, I wrote a recent blog saying during the interview, it's not about you. And I think people miss that. The interviewer has his or her reputation on the line, in a sense, when they hire that person with the mohawk, that youngster with the pink hair or the tattoos. And they feel responsible for the success of the person they're hiring. They either have to report to their boss and explain why they hired him. They have to report to the group that will be working with that person that they've hired. And so they need to feel confident that they're going to fit in and they're going to make the right choice. And if you as an applicant have the attitude that, well, you know, I can do the job, it doesn't matter, you're missing the point of the group dynamic in terms of the work environment, and you're going to have a hard time, as good as your skills may be, you're going to have a hard time possibly even landing the job because of that type of attitude.
That makes so much sense. That's really good advice. And you mentioned at the break that sometimes kids come in so unprepared, they may just dash in, even be late for an interview. So what do you say about punctuality?
I've always worked on Vince Lombardi time, and he had a famous quote about something to the effect of being 10 minutes early. In fact, my bedroom alarm clock set ahead by about 12 minutes, just so I have that little cushion of time. Really makes a bad first impression. Now, there's always things that are going to happen, an accident, a flat tire, something like that. But on a first interview, it's again, it's hard to get past that and see just the person. The interviewer is wondering in the back of their mind, are they really interested in the job? Did they really want to be here? Or did their mom just dress them up and say, don't come back until you've got a job? So you want to take that out of play and be a few minutes early and be there relaxed. It also helps you feel better about the interview. If you're rushed, you're going to be less likely to think through things, whereas if you've got a few extra minutes and you're sitting there, you can kind of rehearse the whole process and be confident when your name is called and it's time to go in for the interview.
That makes a whole lot of sense. One of the things I always told my kids that half the job is to actually just show up and be ready.
Exactly, yeah.
So you want to do that right at the interview, at the get-go, so that the interviewer knows at least you can do that.
Right. If you can't make it on time for the interview, how are you going to make it on time day in and day out if I hire you?
Great, yes. So, Joel, as a society, we urge our children to stay in school and get their degree so they can land a good job and become productive citizens. But in the market we're facing today, finishing school isn't a guarantee of a job. So how can parents help their children make the most of their education so they end up with marketable skills when they go into the interview?
There's a couple of things they can do, and one of them is to remind them to write things down that third grade high school or third grade play where they were the B, or that science project that they did, or the volunteer work they did at a soup kitchen. All those things are hard to remember when it comes time to fill out your first job interview resume form or the application. But if you have a log and a record of those things, you really have built a track record. Most people, if they think about it, can cite specific examples of things that they've done, even if they've never had a paying job, where they've participated, where they've developed some skill, where they've applied what they've known to something. And as a parent, I think it's really important for the parents to remind the children, hey, you just did XYZ. Put that in your log. And then when it comes time to fill out that first job application, they can go through and pick out the examples of things that they've done that would show the future employer that they are the right applicant. When my children were growing up, I every school play, every ballet recital, every soccer game, every Little League game, every karate tournament, anything that they did, I collected the brochures, the playbills, or the announcements for each of those different events, and I just socked them away in a folder for each of the children, so that as adults they had a whole record of everything that they had done in terms of those types of activities and could pull from that for applications and for resumes. So that, as a parent, that might be something you could do for your children. And the other thing I think would be just to help them with deadlines and with homework, which parents are generally pretty good about doing, I think. what have you got tonight and when is it due and those sorts of things. Helping children set up those basic skills, again, that they'll build on in the workplace.
So building the good habits of getting things done and knowing what you're supposed to do. Yeah,
absolutely.
That makes a lot of sense. That log idea is so valuable because kids, they don't know anything else. They go play soccer. They don't know what's going to be important 5 years later or 10 years later. So that's something parents can really help them focus on and keeping the brochures. What about on the other side, though? Sometimes parents will they're so eager to create that long list of extracurricular activities because they don't think their child's an academic star. They may overschedule their child, and some children actually get burnout. So you're not advocating just creating extra.
Oh, absolutely not. No. I think children have to be children at some point. I really do, and I think that is just as valuable as any of the homework skills or the extra band and those sorts of things. Definitely. And each child is different. I know with my three children, They each had different interests, and some stayed with certain things for years and years and years, and others were more experimental in terms of trying this activity and this activity. And we made it a point, my wife and I, to support each of them in their different endeavors without the pressure of, certainly we wanted them to finish what they started. If they committed to a year program, we felt that that was important, that they learn that if they committed to it, they were to see it through. But then at the end of that, they could change and do other things. And no, I think there needs to be time built in for children to be children. You don't get that.
Yeah, so that balance is really the parents' job to see that
exactly.
That balance is there.
Sure.
Excellent. So how can young people discover their own personal assets and make them shine in their resumes if they deliver a resume and in the interview?
Well, I think if you go back to the very beginning of recorded history, people remember stories. Whether it's from the Bible or Aesop's Fables or Alice's Restaurant or Bambi and how escaping from the fire or Raphael and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. There's stories out there and they communicate ideas. And each individual person has a story within them. And I think it's real important that particularly as people get into the job market, that they take that log that their parents have started and they build on that and they look at their life experiences and begin to build their own personal brand, their own story of success, and be able to cite that in an interview.
Oh, that's a fabulous idea to have a story. I've heard that adults part of what you're doing as your career proceeds is finding out what your real story is, and kids can start earlier than most of us adults do in finding out where their passion lies and what their successes have been. Can you tell a little more about how a child can start really getting a sense of their own personal brand and their own story?
Well, I think I met a fellow in May. I took my daughter. She was home from Drew University for the summer as a junior, and we went to brand camp that Hodge Fleming put on, and it was just tremendous. The social media contacts from The Onion. Tamsin Fidel from WPIX Channel 11 was there, and there were just so many different types of people there, and they were talking about how the importance of a personal brand and how in the digital age, how going forward our children specifically are going to be more and more identified by, again, their Facebook presence, their Twitter tweets. All these things are going to become a part of who they are and what the world sees of them. So I think they have to think through, as we were saying earlier, what they want to convey to the world and how they want to be perceived. And the more thought they put into that, I think that the more there's going to be a payoff down the road, the earlier they can start thinking of that. And I'd highly recommend Hodge Fleming's book. It's called Brand You. And even I think even teenagers would benefit immensely from a read through that.
Oh, this sounds like a really good idea. So how do they keep it from looking like an online resume or being too dry? And I mean, you want to hire a person, not a list of statistics.
Well, I think if you look at the hiring process, I really look for four different things. In terms of the interview, and it really ties into a story, because if you're just going in and they're asking you, what have you done? You can say, well, I've in high school I ran the concession stand for the football game, and I handled money and things like that. But if you could instead say, gee, during the 3 years I was in charge of the high school football concession stand, I built the business from $200 a game to $450 a game in sales, and the principal gave me an award, and my friends were happy because we had more money for after school activities, and we applied it to a scholarship fund. Now you have a specific story that somebody's going to remember, and again, getting back to that interviewer who is going to have to justify his or her decision to their boss or to the group that you're going to work with. You've got a really good, clear story of who you are and why you should be hired.
That's brilliant. Joel, we're up on another break, so please, listeners, stay tuned.
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
The Total Education Network is the only network that airs shows 7 days a week on various stations. Please go to our website, www.totaltutor.org, for more information about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide educational news and tips for parents. The Total Education Network, the talk shop for parents, teachers, and administrators. That's www.totaltutor.org.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back to Family First. We're talking with Joel Kwas, who's a nationally recognized expert on how to succeed in your interview. And I met him at a conference. I was excited that this is something that we can help parents prepare their kids for their first job or their teenager who's getting their second job or whatever. So we were just talking about how kids can think about branding and watch their digital presence so that it presents a person that someone might want to hire, and to focus on the stories in their lives. And I love what you mentioned at the break, Joel, about suppose someone asks if you have any experience with customer service, and the interviewee says, "Oh yes, I'm a people person." And instead of that, they should do what?
Well, I give these example. I was a store manager for Best Products in Hopewell, Virginia, small little town south of Richmond in the 80s, and it was Christmas Eve. It was probably between 8:30 and 9 o'clock at night, and the phone rang, and there was a man on the phone, and he said, "This afternoon at your store, I bought a ride-on toy for my son, and the battery's missing, and Christmas is going to be ruined." And I said, "Well, let me do this. Let me meet you at the store. We'll open another box, and we'll get you a battery." Well, before I did that, I called my assistant and had him meet me at the store just in case it was a setup, but it wasn't. And we were able to resolve the problem, give the man his battery, and Christmas was saved. And again, that's one example of a customer service story where it's different than just saying, "I'm a people person." It's something that an interviewer would remember and set you apart, and it actually happened.
Yes, yeah, so let's advocate telling the truth.
Right,
but remembering those little stories where you did go out of the way and you pleased the customer would be so much more effective than saying, "Oh yes, I get along well with people."
And it could be the same way if you haven't been in the workforce, but you maybe you were with your cousins and your cousin left their wallet and they needed it the next day because they couldn't drive to work or to school, and you got it to their home and you took care of it. Those sorts of things, there are specific examples people could think of if they just spend a little time.
That's really cool. And so just be aware of, and what you said, think ahead, you know, because you might not come up with this story sitting there shaking in your shoes.
Exactly.
But if you know it, okay, if they ask about people, I remember helping my cousin. That's really neat. Can your child prepare for job interviews in a way that'll help him really communicate, him or her, really communicate her most valuable talents? What would be the most important part of the interview in that respect?
Well, I think as a parent, you can help walk them through the whole process if they haven't been on an interview before. And really, the first 10 seconds are the most critical. And just as a reminder, and I'm not the first person to say this, but it's okay to have butterflies. You just need to make them fly in formation. So, so it's okay to be nervous, but you want to just take a deep breath and then relax and then go in when they call your name. You know, think of it this way. You know, you might have You've been called into the counselor's office to talk about your career. You've been called into the doctor's office for a flu shot, and you've had to face that. You've done a lot of things where you've had to go and be in front of people. So this is nothing new. It's just a different type of situation. So you stand up. You go in and look the interviewer right in the eye and offer a firm handshake. And then be enthusiastic. 49% of the applicants for jobs in last year's survey of hiring managers said that the thing they were disappointed most in was that the applicants weren't very enthusiastic. So just by having a good handshake and a good smile and saying nice to meet you, you've set yourself ahead of 51% of the group just by doing
that. That's a good tip.
And then you just need to keep it professional. You don't need to apply a lot of personal details in the conversation that really have no role in the position that you're hiring for, and stick to the questions that are being asked. I did a mass hiring a year or so ago, and we had two storefront buildings with large picture windows, and I was in the one building, and the other manager went and got Fred, who was an applicant, and as I'm reading his resume, I thought, boy, this is a person I'd really like to hire. Looks like he's got a lot of good skills. He did well in school. I watched him walk across the, in front of me, in front of the window before he came into the office where we were. And he's following behind the manager. And I noticed that he reached up his arm and kind of smelled his armpit.
Oh, dear.
Don't want to do that. Then as he came in, we had some snacks up front just to break the ice and, let the applicants have a little something. And, of course, he was over 21, but he said when he was offered food that he didn't want to line his stomach with any grease because he was going out drinking later. And that, you know, is probably not the thing you want to say. But I was still enthusiastic because he had such a great resume. And then I shook his hand, and it was like, it was just very, very limp, very tepid. And I started to ask him questions about his job, and the sales leader for the last 2 years in your division. Yeah. I see you have moved into two different jobs and been promoted each time. Yeah. He really didn't have answers for anything. I even tried to give him the answers. I see you were number one in your class. You had a 4.0 GPA, and you volunteered at a hospice center 4 days a week. How did you manage your time? Yeah. Nothing. So I finally had to tell him HR would get in touch with him, and he headed out. Of course, on the way out, he said, you know, I really don't have a way home. Could you give me a ride home later? So it just, you know, there are a lot of things that he did that just really weren't good for his career.
Tell me, Joel, did you start to wonder if maybe he had made up some of those things?
It's quite possible, yes. We hadn't gotten to the background check at that point. But I just felt like he really didn't want the job. Somebody had sent him. Somebody had made him come, is what it felt like. Because there he was on the sidewalk afterwards. Again, I see him outside. He's on his cell phone. He's animated. He's talking. His arms are moving. He's got life in his eyes again. So it seemed like it was he just really didn't want to be there for whatever reason. He was just going through the motions.
To know why you're there and have positive expectations.
Exactly.
because when he just grunts like that, it's like he assumes you're going to turn him away or he doesn't want to be there.
Correct. Yes, and again, you know, some people are in this job environment are out there only collecting signatures that they've been places too, and that's kind of unfortunate. I know our teenagers and our youth really, for the most part, aren't unemployed at this point. They just haven't been employed. But there are folks out there who are the 99ers, you know, the 99 weeks of unemployment, who are just collecting signatures to show they've been out there, unfortunately.
That must be very discouraging to the interviewer to just see that.
There's a lot of energy involved in that. You want to make the right decision and do the right thing for an individual, and then to find out that they really aren't interested, it's kind of a waste of everybody's time, certainly.
For sure. So what do employers look for in new hires, and how can our young applicants show in their interview that they are ready to do the job?
Well, I think there's really only four things that they've got to know. First, they need to understand what the company does that they're going to interview for. You know, if it's a fast food place, it's pretty basic, but even so, they could do a little research about the company, how long they've been in business. They really need to think about what questions they could ask as well as what the answers are going to be. Again, almost 30% of the hiring managers said that not asking good questions or having insufficient answers was a reason why they didn't hire a person. So just taking the time to understand what the company is about, you know, having somebody say to me and when I'm interviewing them, oh, by the way, you know, I heard your company is a good place to work for. What do you do? that kind of doesn't set the rest of the interview up very well. Or how much does this job pay? You know, if you're asking me that, you're basically wasting my time as an interviewer. But to move on to the more positive things, if you can tell somebody how you've increased sales in the position that you've held. And again, it could be that example I gave earlier at the high school football game, or it could be you've had a previous job and on the weekends you had to sell upgrades on a service. And we were doing this at my job, and on Saturdays we noticed that over the last 3 or 4 weeks we were trending down almost 17%. And one Saturday we said, well, that's kind of ridiculous. What can we do? So we got the cashiers involved. We started talking about it, and we did a little better. Well, the Sunday group saw what we had done on Saturday, and they said, well, gee, we're not going to be shown up by them. So they started a little program and did a little better. The second week we planned things out, and we really made some strides in selling this optional program. And the Sunday group, we actually beat the Sunday group, and they were disappointed. By the third week, there were people calling from other buildings asking, what in the world are you doing there? Because now instead of being down in these sales by 17%, we're up almost 30%. And the following week, we get a call from the regional vice president going, what in the world's going on in your building? Why are these sales so high? So again, it's a specific story that you can tell about something that you've done that will be remembered by the person doing the hiring.
Great.
And I think anybody can think of a story like that if they just take a minute and not have to do it, as you say, on the spot in the middle of the interview.
Right. So that's it. So that's two. So you want to know what the company does, and you want to be able to have a story where you've made a difference in a company. And what are those other two?
Well, the other two would be I've decreased expenses in the position I've held. And again, if you're maybe you're a switchboard operator and you've for the summer, and you notice they have 16 incoming lines, but you only ever use 4 or 5, maybe 6 at the most. So you mention it to your boss. The next thing you know, they've taken those lines out, and they're saving $173.12 a month. So you've saved the company money just by being observant and pointing out something, a way they could save money. Or maybe you were involved in a recreation league in high school, and you had bus trips to away games. And you looked at what the bus company was charging, went online, Googled bus trips, bus services, found a bus company that would offer a better deal, and you were able to save the league money. So there's a lot of ways where you could show that you've decreased expenses. And again, it needs to be a very specific example that the interviewer can relate to, so that they have a story to tell about you. And
that's,
then finally,
that's great. Well, we're up on a break. Let's go with the fourth must-know statement after the break.
Very good.
Looking for exciting video content live and on demand? Visit www.voiceamerica.tv for exclusive content you just can't find anywhere else. That's voiceamerica.tv. Tune in now.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back. We're talking with Joel Quash about how to make your child's job interview a success. And we've just been talking about the four most important must-know statements when you're in an interview, and parents need to share these with their kids. The first of all is to do some research about the company so you don't ask any questions like you aren't interested in that particular company. And the second is to have some kind of story about how you've improved results for some kind of enterprise that you've worked for before. And the second is maybe another story about how you've decreased the costs or expenses for some organization. And it doesn't have to be a prior job. It could be a sports team or a friend's lemonade stand. And so what's the fourth must-know statement, Joel?
In any business, you're dealing with people, and so providing customer service and excellent customer service is really the fourth must-know statement, how you've done that. And we talked about my example of Christmas Eve, but I was in the dentist office the other day, and my dentist and I were actually talking about how he had hired people for his business. And it's kind of hard to do that when he has his hand in your mouth. But we were talking about that. And he said when he first started hiring people, he was hiring based on their resumes. And so he got a lot of very talented dental technicians and hygienists and people. But they really didn't understand his customer service philosophy. And then as he realized that and he started talking to applicants a little further about how they felt about customer service and understanding where they were coming from, he was able to put together a team. And I'd noticed that over the past 5 or 6 years, how it was a whole lot friendlier now when you go in there, and more, it just seems to flow better. Everybody seems happier. There's not a lot of tension in there, which is a good thing when you have a drill. You know, when you're in the dentist office, you want to be relaxed and not, you're worried enough about the dental part of it. And it really is a byproduct of his focusing on customer service. So as an applicant, if you can identify that in the course of your conversation, again, it goes back to asking good questions of the interviewer so that you can get enough information that you can tell your customer service story. And that will, again, set you apart from the rest of the people applying for that position.
That makes so much sense. Now, parents want success for their children, but you say there needs to be limits. What should parents avoid when they're trying to help their children prepare?
There's a term going around these days called the helicopter parent.
Right.
And they parents hovering over their children every step of the way. I've heard a story recently about a family in Japan whose parents sold everything and moved to the city where their son was going to college and bought an apartment next to where he was so that they could be with him through his entire college experience. And I it's very hard to do, speaking as a parent, to let go. But it really is not a good thing to go along on the interview, at least not into the building, into the office, and try and sit in on the actual interview. So as a parent, you need to set limits of how far you go with your child.
That makes a lot of sense.
I think of the television show Everybody Loves Raymond, where Robert's applying for an FBI position, and Marie, his mother, calls the FBI and goes to see the FBI person who's doing the interview on behalf of her son, and it's just it's a hilarious episode, but it's actually, some parents, feel that they're helping their children by doing that. And personally, I think that, and again, I understand how hard that is to do. But at some point, you really have to let go and let them experience whatever's going to happen on their own. If you've given them the tools and the skills and the positive reinforcement, they'll do fine. And you have to let them experience it for themselves.
Yes, I always say, as far as parenting, that it's a challenge, continuing challenge from the moment the child leaves a mom's body. It's a letting go process, and letting the kids take on responsibility at every stage is really critical to their maturation. And by the time they're in college or doing job interviews, you do have to, stay on the curb or stay in the car.
Exactly.
Yeah. So ask. Asking what's next at the end of an interview is a nice beginning for the follow-up process, but what should parents teach their kids about the real follow-up process after they've been there?
There are several things they should do. And first, you want to make sure that your child knows before they leave the interview, they need to ask permission to follow up. Is it okay if I call you, on this date to see what's going on? And then the parent needs to find out, make sure that the child does that, that they do follow up. But another thing that I think is equally important, and even in today with IM and emails and all of the messaging that we're doing, is an old-fashioned handwritten snail mail note. And I think that if they come home from the interview and they sit down and write it out, in fact, Randy, I've already written yours out, and it's ready to go out tomorrow. My thank you. I think that speaks volumes. And again, to take the time to address it, to write it, to put a stamp on it, to put it in the mail, shows that you're willing to do a little bit extra and to make a difference. And 2 or 3 days from now, when that arrives at the employer's office, they're going to remember you once again. And if you have given them positive stories, if you've given them positive ideas of how you can fit into the company, if you've asked intelligent questions, it'll set you apart. And again, it'll make you the applicant that they're going to want to go to when it's time to make the hiring decision.
So you're actually showing them rather than just telling them that you do follow up, that you will go the extra mile, that you are about building relationships. So that's brilliant. Just that note just shows them and demonstrates what you've been trying to get across.
And even back in before instant messaging and all of this, I remember after I sold my vending business, as I was looking for something else to do, I had been sending out sending out resumes, sending out applications, and I had had an interview with a company, and then I had gotten a second interview, and I had an offer, and I hadn't heard back from the first company, so I called to follow up with them, and he said, "Well, come down right away." And it turned out that that follow-up phone call was the last step in my interview with that company. If I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have gotten the job because he was waiting for me to take the initiative to make that final call.
Well, we're coming up on the end of the show, Joel, and I definitely want to give people all the information about how they can learn more about your work and contact you to buy your book or have you speak at their next event. And otherwise, get counseling or advice from you. So can you give your website and best ways to contact you?
Absolutely. There's two ways anybody can get a hold of me. One is at goodmanagementisnot.com. That's my website for the book and for my speaking. And I also run a jobs board at onestopjobsonline.com. And if anybody's interested, there are over 10,000 jobs on there, even as we speak, and you can post your resume there for free. And I also have my blog and some of the ideas that I've presented here, I elaborate on further in blog posts on that site as well. And you can also reach me at editor@goodmanagementisnot.com.
And what was that job site again?
It's One Stop Jobs Online, all one word.
One Stop Jobs with an S?
One Stop Jobs with an S online.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Online. Okay, great. So I think you said that was relatively new, that you're just really trying to help people, and you already have 10,000 jobs on it, and they can put their resume. So that's amazing. And you are available for speaking to job fairs or
trainings? I would love to
trainings.
Speak to anybody anytime in terms of helping them. My motto is I'm working to get people working.
Oh, I like that so much. Well, I really appreciate you being on the show, Joel, and I hope parents will take to heart these great ways to prepare their kids for success in their interviews. So thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thank you for having me on, Randy.
My pleasure.
We hope you've enjoyed Family First. Please tune in to our program every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, to join your host, Randy Rolfe, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. The weekend is here. Enjoy it with your family. And we hope to see you here next week.